Let's talk to our friend Adam Amin from NBC Sports Chicago and Fox. Not only does he cover the NBA, but he covers baseball and the NFL, and we're less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Adam, before we get to the Chicago Bulls and the end of the season and the play-in and hopefully the playoffs, let's talk about Caleb Williams and the Bears. I mean, you covered the NFL for Fox, and you covered the Bears specifically. What do you think about this kind of idea that the number one pick is already solidified? It's going to be Caleb Williams, and he's going to be a Chicago Bear. What do you think?
The more I've gotten comfortable with that sentence, the more I feel like I'm comfortable with the idea. Just the more you hear it, the more you are kind of forced to think about it. And it's not as if this hasn't been on a lot of our minds over the last several months, ever since the Bears season officially ended. Would they move on from Justin Fields? What, you know, obviously the great debate, and finally when the trade happened, we all kind of figured that this was the natural next step. I feel more and more comfortable with the idea. I was a proponent of Justin's. I felt that this team probably could do what it wanted to do and succeed at the levels it really wanted to if it continued to invest in Fields, more importantly, the talent around him. But they moved on from him. They did right by him, by all accounts. And I'm comfortable with the idea that Caleb Williams can, will, and probably should be the future and future quarterback of the Bears and the quarterback of the future for the Bears. And I think still with all the offseason discussion, even the discussion in season about Justin Fields, and even going back into last August, about a year ago, I still feel like Ryan Poles has done a decent enough job of building around the quarterback position. There's still some holes, but I feel comfortable with that idea that Caleb Williams would be the starting quarterback for this franchise going forward. And obviously, a lot of people in Chicago, myself included, for various reasons, hope it's a very lucrative partnership going forward.
Yeah, one of the themes we've been talking about is how this isn't going to be like Bryce Young coming into Carolina, or this is more, I mean, this is probably even better set up than CJ Stroud was, because we know the defense is better than what he had with the Texans last year. So even if Caleb Williams comes in and does struggle a little bit, you've got this solid defense. This is more like when Trubisky came in and when Nagy came in with Trubisky, and they had that historic defense that they're kind of set up where he can have a few growing pains, even though he is projected to be this great prospect.
Yeah, closer to 18, right? It looks a lot more like that when you saw what a good defense can do to bail out an offense. I don't think it will have as much of as many question marks around it as the situation you were talking about in Carolina did, because there were so many holes and there were so many question marks about who was being signed, who was going to get let go. A lot of contracts were short-term deals. There was a lot in flux in Carolina, and frankly, that continues to be the case. Whereas you look at some of the pieces that have been brought in, Keenan Allen is a proven commodity. DJ Moore was a fairly proven commodity when he was brought in last year. Edmonds was a fairly proven commodity. TJ Edwards has had really good seasons in the NFL. There's high hopes for the back end of that secondary with how young they are, and essentially having those guys under contract for the next 2 or 3 years at a fairly, I would still say, pretty cheap price point, all things considered, between Stevenson, the two safeties, between having a nickel corner in Kyler Gordon and having a hard-hitting safety with having Jalen Johnson. I feel like there's so many fewer question marks about where this Bears team is than, say, Carolina, say, Houston. Even going back a decade or so when Andrew Luck was starting to be turned into the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, there were still question marks about different sides of the ball. So I would agree with you. This is about as good. You know, you've heard other pundits talk about, is this the best ever situation for a rookie quarterback to walk into? And I don't know. I don't care enough to go crunch numbers and rosters and look back in the past 20 years. But if those guys are at least thinking about it, then at least gives you a sense of where this franchise is at personnel-wise and the improvements that have been made around it.
And it kind of feels like the amount of hype around this pick, around this player, around this team, what we'll see in the summer, and then also as we kind of head towards training camp and into the preseason, it feels like this is going to be some of the biggest maybe hyped storylines that the three of us have seen in almost, 20 years? I mean, when you think back to Chicago sports in the last decade or so, you know, besides the Cubs winning the World Series, we're kind of lacking true star talent in this city. And it's something that we all have a thirst for. And I think that's where we're going to really see it like amped up the moment the announcement is made for the pick. And then kind of as we head towards summer, that Adam, when you look at this, it really feels like he's fitting into place in a void where we don't have a star to be like the guy in the city of Chicago right now.
So that means two things. That means a major opportunity to thrust yourself into, you know, legitimate Chicago and national stardom. And it also means there's ample opportunity for people either to want you to fail, expect you to fail, or potentially even actually fail. Like, there's a lot of hype that's being built around a young kid who's stepping into this position. But that's the them's the breaks when you're going to be the number one pick in the NFL, when you are a franchise that has a number one pick. There's going to be hype built around it. Even last year with Carolina, and I was around that organization at the end of the year when they were, you know, just hanging on and, you know, kind of almost going through the motions at times. That was an organization that didn't really have a whole lot of feel for Bryce Young. You know, I think the city of Charlotte didn't have a whole lot of feel for Bryce Young. I think a lot of people who watch the NFL didn't have a great feel for him. Caleb Williams is going to have a lot of scrutiny on him right out of the gate, because of being the number one pick and because of the franchise he's playing for and the market that he's going to be playing in. So there's a lot of ample opportunity, because if he comes out of the gate and wins a couple of games or has a couple of great moments, that's, you're going to see this city at a fever pitch. Because, yeah, you're probably right. It was probably 16 for the Cubs. Prior to that, it was probably the Blackhawks with Kane and Taves winning Stanley Cups. Outside of that, you know, Candace Parker winning a WNBA title. Like, there's not a lot of big names in the history of those particular sports outside of the people we just named that make that type of national impact. And that's what you have to discuss, not only how you feel about them locally, but what everybody else around the country and on every network is talking about. They need to feel that same passion you do. And right now they do. You know, I saw Julian Edelman the other day basically say the Bears had the best offseason of any team, and they're going to keep it going with the number one pick. So there's already that built-in hype. I'm looking forward to trying to maintain my emotions when we get to August and start doing preseason games. And, you know, we'll obviously all get to watch the Hall of Fame game together when they play in the first week of August. But, you know, there's discussion about the Bears should be on Hard Knocks. This should be the team that they cover during training camp. They should do that for the sake of the franchise or for the sake of Caleb Williams. There's a million opportunities out there to expand and evolve the stardom. And that also means that there's a lot of pressure and ample opportunities to fail as well.
So as someone who broadcasts the games and, you know, is in some of these meetings and that kind of thing, we kind of set the over under at 4.5 nationally televised games, not including the London game. So not including that London game as a standalone game. I think the high last year was 5 or 6 games for the Chiefs. So do you think they get over or under that 4.5?
I could easily see the opening Sunday night game. I think Bears Niners or Bears Lions would be like an awesome Sunday night opener. Get the number one pick, get the Chicago market, get the 49ers, the defending champs, or get the Lions who made a deep playoff run and get a divisional matchup right away. I could see that being the case. They'll certainly get 2 Monday night football games. Like, we'll just expect to see them on Monday night twice. Obviously every team gets a Thursday. I'm going to say over. Actually, now just kind of counting through, I feel like probably the over is a good bet right now for over 4.5 nationally televised games.
Yeah. I'm going over as well. I think they're going to be on TV a lot.
Does Thanksgiving count? We don't know if they're playing on Thanksgiving yet. I could see one of those Lions games.
Lions, Bears, Thanksgiving Thursday, like it was, you know, five years ago. It's been a few years since they've done that.
Yeah. So
I think it was 5 years ago in 2019, I think, was the last time Bears Lions played Thanksgiving. So I feel like I think it's over. I think the Caleb Williams effect, especially early, every network will try to get one maybe in the first 6 or 7 weeks or 8 weeks, just so they can make sure we get the number one pick. Assuming that is the case. And then I don't doubt that, you know, they'll try to save one or two for the back end for potential, you know, implications, playoff implications, if the Bears have a successful season.
Speaking of playoff implications, the Chicago Bulls, they're wrapping up their regular season. They're locked in for the play-in game. They're going to play the Hawks in the playing game. Adam, as this season has gone along, is there anything that has surprised you about the way this season has kind of gone through for the Chicago Bulls? Like, we all kind of expected maybe a little bit more, but it seems like they're exactly in the same spot they were in when last season ended. What do you think of this?
Yeah, it's definitely two different paths to get to about the same place. If they win these last two, they'll be at the exact same record they were at last year, 40 wins. And I think there are two very different paths to get to that point. I think they were middling, more of a middling team last year. And then you saw them turn it on late in the season. The Patrick Beverley addition certainly helped their defense. And I think they figured some things out in a better stretch after the All-Star break. Whereas this year, those first 19 games are just really bad. I mean, that was bad basketball. They were a very poor team. Then the injuries mounted, and then you thought, well, it's only going to get worse from here. And to their credit, I do give them a lot of credit, and I feel like we've been pretty critical of them in this last, I don't know, 10 or 11 game stretch because they played poorly. They were one game under 500. They haven't been 500 since the start of last season, and they had an opportunity to get back to 500 and a chance to get over it. They play a poor effort game and a frustrating game against Houston. They end up losing four in a row at that point. And then you're like, all right, well, this is not going to be a team that's even going to compete for, you know, a top six spot at this point. So let's see where they end up. And we've been fairly critical of them. But if you do look at the totality of their season after the first 19 games, I know Arturis Karnišovas is going to tout that. And I understand anybody would in his position or in Billy Donovan's position. They have played much better since those first 19. They haven't played as well in the last 10 or 11. So that's what concerns me a little bit. But the injury issues that this team has dealt with, for them to play the way they have, despite not having a 25-point-a-game score, despite not having one of their young talents who was in a contract, you know, essentially a contract year in Patrick Williams, I do give them a lot of credit for that. The Kobe White development is probably the most pleasant surprise. I think the jump for Ayo Dosunmu is a bigger surprise, not that he improved, but the way that he bounced back and improved as much as he did from last year to this year. I think those are the things that probably stick out. Depending on how you feel about this team, you'll spin it whatever way you want to, honestly, because you can make a case that this is a mediocre team that should be much better than it is. And you could also make a case that this is a banged up team that played above where it probably could have been, all things considered. So you do have to credit the players and coaching staff for that. So depending on your feelings, that's going to be one of those two things is going to be a chunk of your answer.
So Adam's basically saying that it's more reflected on us.
Yeah, it is.
Who
the
Bulls are, yeah. Right?
Like maybe the Bulls were within you the whole time.
Yeah, right.
The Bulls were inside of you this whole time. The real Bulls.
It's the players that weren't injured that we saw.
Yes. that became our friends along the way.
Friends along the way. Well, are they better than they were last year because they're doing this without Patrick Williams and without Zach LaVine?
I think the common sense answer is yes, because if you have the same record but with less talent, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Although you could say that, you know, Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu's jumps this year have made up for some of that lack of talent that you're missing with LaVine and Williams in particular on the bench right now. I feel like common sense would tell you that, yes, this is a better team. I think it's a more frustrating team, though, than it was last year, because we've seen so many peaks and valleys. And I think that's what's been the more frustrating element of this team. And that's probably why they're more polarizing this year than they were last year, because you see games, they play the Minnesota Timberwolves and they play the New York Knicks, you know, at home last week. And the way they energize themselves and the way they commit themselves to the defensive end, and the ball movement and the player movement, and now Javonte Green's back and that brings some excitement and he plays well. And you're thinking, man, if this team just stuck to the details on a nightly basis, you just feel like they would win more games, not every game, but more games. And the fact that they've played and won as many clutch games as they have, that you do have to give credit to a team for being able to pull out that many wins. You also have to consider what got you into that position in the first place. So they're far from a contender. They're far from a championship contender. They're far from the Boston Celtics. They're far from, you know, the elite of the elite teams, certainly. And they're, but I do think they're closer to the Knicks and the Cavs and the Pacers of the world than they are the Wizards, the Pistons of the world.
Yeah, it's a wild swing, right? Because they have played some of those top teams pretty well, but then they face off against Washington, for example, or Detroit previously. I know last night they get the win, but previously in the season, they struggle against some of the bottom feeders. So it's kind of a wild variance based on what you can get from the effort defensively from night to night. I do have to tip my cap, and you mentioned Coby White and his development this season. Adam, I love NBA players who kind of improve one piece of their game and it unlocks so much more. And I think with Coby White, the fact that he knew his ball handling was a weakness of his. Mm-hmm. And so he got in the gym last summer, he improved it. And then all of a sudden he turns into a solid scoring player in the league just because he improved his ball handling. Now the shot's there. Like, what's that like being around a player like that who has dedicated himself to improving to where now he's changed the narrative about who he is as a Chicago Bull going forward?
Yeah, I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, what the narrative was on Coby White. I think that was the narrative. Who is
it
this
was
guy?
Like, he's certainly not someone you can build around. That was the case last year.
Yeah, is he Ben Gordon? Is he a bench scorer? Is he a good bench scorer who is going to play the two guard for the remainder of his career? Is he a lead point guard who's going to be a playmaker, or is he a combo guard who can play defense? And I think he's closer to the third. He's closer to that last one now, where he really is a true combo guard. He can play off the ball. He can play as lead guard. He can be a playmaker. He can be a scorer. He can handle and he can defend. And I think all those things have been steadily improved. Like I've told opposing broadcasters and other people that have come in and asked about him, it's not, there's really nothing special about what he's done. And I feel bad almost saying that because I'm not trying to diminish the work, but that's all it is. It was really hard work from somebody who identified problems, figured out how to solve them, the right people to bring in. We always talk about his handles coach, Johnny Dribble Too Much, Johnny Stefine, who works with dozens of NBA players and high level ones, Steph Curry included, Zach LaVine from the Bulls as well. It's not diminishing the work. It's identifying, it's bringing the right people in, and then putting the work in, hours and hours and hours in the gym. And I do love seeing the one thing. I think you said it really well, Chris. Like, it was just this one thing. He's always been a high IQ player, and he's always shown the ability to score in bursts. But finally, his handles caught up with how fast his brain wanted to go. You know, his body and his mechanics could not keep up with how quickly he was processing things. And that's why he was turning the ball over. That's why his body was ahead of the ball when he would try to make more intricate moves against defenders. And now, sure, there's once in a while he does dribble the ball off his foot, but you're going to get that when you have a player with what I would say is a very deep bag at this point. We mentioned it even last night against Detroit, like the bag that he has developed, we're at the middle of the Masters this weekend. Like, his club bag right now, the shots that he can pull off and the dribbles that he can go to and the moves that he can lean on, the directions that he moves in, all those things got steadily and steadily better over a couple years. And then this summer, he really put the work in to make that big jump. And it's really satisfying when it happens to a player that you see the work, when the work is being put in. It's even more satisfying when it happens to, seemingly and by all accounts, a very good guy and a good teammate and a hard worker.
So, voice of the Bulls, MLB on Fox, NFL on Fox, DJ. How did you get into this? Is it a hobby? Is it a side hustle? Is it just something you do in your spare time? Because, like, this isn't you just putting music on SoundCloud. I mean, you are out DJing at clubs after games, and like, it's awesome. I don't know when you sleep or if you're one of these people that only needs like a half an hour of sleep a night or something like that, or you operate like an NBA player and you sleep during the day. Like, I don't know how this, but how did this come about, and what do you consider this for yourself?
I started doing it when I was a teenager. My brothers bought me my first set of turntables, like real turntables and a mixer. And I went out to vinyl shops and record shops and bought records. I did this as a mobile DJ. Like, I've done weddings and bar mitzvahs and corporate events. I did that when I was in my teens. I made a lot of money doing it. I did it at my high school. I got paid during, you know, homecoming weekends and like celebration weekends or weeks to play during the during lunch hours in the cafeteria. And I did this while I was in college, and I made money doing it and helped me pay my way through school. And then I gave it up when I was 24, when I got hired by ESPN for my first real major broadcasting job. And I missed doing it for basically 12 years, decided I wanted to pick it back up last year, and said if I was actually going to spend time doing something like this, something that is more of a passion than it is a profession, then I'm going to do it right. And I'm going to actually dedicate time to it. And then it turned into like a side profession. Like, I get paid to go out and do this once in a while. And I'm thankful I don't have to do it for a living if I don't want to. That takes a lot of the pressure off of it, and it makes it more easy to focus on the fun of it rather than having to scrap your way to another gig. Because I see a lot of the actual professionals or the guys that lean on this, the guys and girls who do this for a living, and it's a hard racket out there. So I'm just happy to be able to do it and get in where I fit in. And I love playing, and I love house music, and I love being able to play it in front of people. And I just started producing music. So it's a fun thing to be able to do. I consider it more of a side hustle now because I've put so much time into it and has actually led to some things. I would say it's more than a hobby, but less than a job.
When's the next event? When's the next gig?
It depends on the Bulls schedule. It might be next week. If the Bulls don't make the playoffs, it's contingent. So either way, I'll be happy. I would very much like to see the Bulls make the playoffs and at least get a couple of playoff games in and get a couple of playoff broadcasts in. But if not, I have a pretty good backup plan for next weekend.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, boys.